As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Ah, yes, and once again, the sun is arising over Missouri, folks, and it is time for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to the Tuesday, March the 24th, 2009 broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. They're on the web, I'm on the web, we're all on the web. Visit our websites, www.vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. Lots of information cooking in there. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local, because this is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or simply pick up the telephone and call now for those with unlimited long distance. Or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You can also send your ideas for guest show topics and news to me via email. Have received a bunch of email. host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org, and I look forward to receiving your notes and ideas as well. And for those without internet access listening via any of our many affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Mo. That's Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647 is that postal zip. And again, those websites are www.vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Jump in there and join the chatters today. Gold Retreat says the stock market surge upwards. We'll go into the market reports in a moment and look at that briefly. Agenda 21 in a town near you. Got some breaking news to share. Part 7, if you can. Fabian Equality, free schools, free money, and all that rot. Well, we'll take your calls and much more. Let's go into those market reports for today. Tuesday, March the 24th, 2009, active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 hour ago. Gold was off $16.80, slumping along at about $921.40 per ounce. Silver was off 26 cents, trading at $13.40. Platinum off $13, trading $1,110. Palladium off $3 to $204. So far, the metals are all down and down big time. And on the other side of the coin, we'll see what happens today. But yesterday, as many of you remember, the Dow Jones Industrial Average took almost a 500-point leap, going up 497.48 points to close at 7,775.86. Quite an impressive move. I think it's a 22% move. The other news articles were right. I didn't do the math. You figure it out. The NASDAQ up 98.50 points, trading at 1,555.77 yesterday at closing. Another strong move up. The whole thing was up big time. Lots of all of the stocks went up big time yesterday for whatever reason. Somebody must have farted in the stock exchange room and it smelled good, and everybody responded accordingly. The U.S. dollar index up 29 basis points to 83.75. We'll pick it all up on the other side and get this broadcast going. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
Learn how how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned right here on the Tuesday, March the 24th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. My name is William Roberts. We're going into the hard news here. We're looking at the stock exchange, the reports on the trading, active trading, gold, metal markets, and that sort of stuff. Very interesting day yesterday, very interesting day. Put it on your calendar. Like I said, I don't know what it was that created this irrational exuberance, but everything was up. The Dow Jones closed up 497.48 points. The NASDAQ was up 98.50 points. The New York Stock Exchange closed up 353, almost 354. The S&P was up 54 points. Everything was up, up, up all over the place. And, of course, whenever that happens, gold is likely to go down, 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 and that's what it's done. But it's not doing too badly. Let's go into this a little bit further and look at the rest of the indicators. The U.S. dollar index, again, up 29 basis points, trading at 83.75. That's not a landmark move, nor is it a landmark position. Just another point in the life of the vague U.S. dollar exchange. The crude oil off 38 cents, trading at 53.42, important in that. And then the low and the high in the market as of, again, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 hour ago. Their low in the gold market was gold spot, that was $916.40. The high was $958.60 for a $42 spread. It's a pretty good sized spread. We're going to see that kind of stuff coming more often. I wouldn't be surprised, and many of the other analysts have said the same thing, that we start to see $50, $75, swings every day in gold. There's going to be a lot of oscillation as we go deeper and deeper into this maniacal twist. But I did go in and look at a lot of different articles this morning. Got up very early, got around 5 o'clock, something like that. And I couldn't sleep for some reason. Just got out of bed spontaneously without the alarms. And went on, hit the internet, and started looking. But I didn't find anything worth printing out and talking about. It's all the same claptrap. You hear it every time. Every time the gold goes up, everybody's, you know, going to gold for a safe haven. Every time gold goes down, people are flooding, you know, losing their confidence in gold. It's Dadaism. It's Dadaism. We know that these markets are rigged. They're rigged from the inside out. And with all the trillions and trillions floating around, all of the trillions of monies, what a great phrase Lee Rogers came up with, all your monies. You got your monies in your pocket. We're going to talk about some monies. But with all those monies in your pocket, all the trillions and trillions out there, it's no surprise that they can't create miracles on Wall Street. Let's look at the foreign exchange rates for today. Canadian dollar, if you want to get involved in the, if you're going to go up to Canada scrub around a little bit up there. Every time I go to Canada, everything's free. But if you're going to go to Canada, it's going to be 82 cents U.S. to get a Canadian dollar. Mexican peso, bargain days today. The red light is on, 7 cents a peso. The euro, you're going to have to reach a little deeper, $1.35. It's moving up, though. If you look at the small, the digits, the many digits after the decimal point, it's moving up. The euro, $1.35, and the British pound, you have to go in and pull up 147 coppers to get it. $1.47 for the British pound. Let's go to some local news. Agenda 21 in a town near you. Well, there's Agenda 21 coming to a town near me. It's about 3 miles away. Thank goodness I don't live in this town, but nevertheless, you know, as the Bonhoeffer said, you know, first they came for the gypsies, then they came for the Jews. We want to pay attention and help these other towns. I'm going to have to do a little bit of research and see if I can't kick off some people in that area to follow this. But here's a small town newspaper, small town Missouri, southwest Missouri. Here's the banner headline, Cassville's master plan covers 4 phases. This is out of the Berry County Advertiser, March the 18th of 2009. There's a $147,000 agreement for city planning services signed earlier this month by the city of Cassville with a Kansas City firm, Booker, Wallace, and Ratliff, BWR, will implement in 4 phases over the next 7 months, according to the terms of the contract. So they're going to be creating a master plan. Phase 1 begins with the appointment of a project plan advisory committee by the city, presumably to work with the representatives of the BWR firm. BWR will prepare background information on the city, working with the project advisory committee for the outreach kickoff. Now, that's a bunch of stuff that they go out and have anybody, let's see a show of hands, anybody know anything about urban planning? Do we need to do some broadcasts on urban planning, urban renewal, all of that stuff? A little bit of information on sustainable development or how these processes come in. Well, we'll come to that perhaps in another broadcast today. I'm just going to hit the highlights. Nevertheless, background information on the city. Now, they go on the internet, they find all of the census data and whatnot, and they pull together how many square miles are in the city or how many acres it comprises and where they draw maps and things like that. So I've done this sort of stuff, working on architect and land surveying and planning and things like that. I've done these kind of graphics and done this kind of research, kind of like the devil coming into somebody's details. Nevertheless, that's what they're going to do first, and then they're going to have meetings. So then BWR's approach to the Cassville comprehensive plan. Notice whenever you see comprehensive plan, it's not just a master plan. It's a comprehensive plan. It's a whole other animal. It goes back and harkens to Chicago Metro 13 and all of that rot. Bunch of Fabian socialist, well, it's just claptrap, what can I say? Nevertheless, these people haven't got enough sense to get out of their own way, and they've invited this devil in amongst us. Nevertheless, back once again. The BWR, again, this is the planning company, this is the architectural firm. BWR's approach to the Cassville Comprehensive Plan will stress a quote-unquote people-driven planning process. Now, you'll hear that until you puke. Guarantee it, by technology and a strong visioning process. Key phrases, key phraseology. You listen to this broadcast on a regular basis, you're going to get enough of this vocabulary so that you'll be able to recognize it in your own local newspapers. But whenever you see a strong visioning process, look out. Tavistock is coming to town, and that's what's happening here, unfortunately. by facilitating, here we go, by facilitating. So we've got a visioning council. We're going to have a 2020, a visioning 2020 statement, no doubt. By facilitating, here's the trained facilitators, and of course they're out of BWR. By facilitating an open planning process, the city of Cassville will, here you go, more words, forge consensus among people. That's consensus building. Dialogue to consensus. Establish a shared vision. There's your vision 2020, your vision plan. And meet far-sighted planning goals and objectives. That's right out of Stalin's Russia. To prepare for goals and objectives and to give the public detailed information around which to forge consensus, the consultant team will obtain input from the community. Now let's look at the input that they will, what part of the community they're going to obtain their input from. The first in-person, quote-unquote in-person interviews to be held by BWR is when they will spend an afternoon conducting 10, quote-unquote, stakeholder. Now we've got visioning process, we've got forging consensus, we've got comprehensive planning, now we're doing stakeholder interviews. This is textbook sustainable development, folks. This is textbook smart growth coming at us and at us in rural Missouri. Stakeholder interviews with key individuals, organizations, and elected officials to listen and to build trust and credibility. These stakeholder interviews are a one-on-one discussion with an individual or small group to obtain ideas and issues important to the project. Stakeholders, quote-unquote, are not further identified in the contract documents, and they never are. We'll be back.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908 691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Now, as we saw in this previous article here so far, stakeholders are not further identified in the contract documents. They rarely ever are. As a matter of fact, most of these various and sundry terms that I'm throwing out here are typically not well known. They're not even known of the people who've signed the contract, and once they've signed the contract and they get into the deal, then and only then do they start to find out what kind of a mess they've brought on the people. But, this is the way it works. This is the way Agenda 21 comes to home. This is why we say become vocal local. We have to understand that as globalism transitions from global to local, we must become vocal local and block this globalist agenda right where we are in our towns, our cities, our counties, and our states. And right here is a classic example of Agenda 21, the globalist dream, coming into another, and this a county seat, the county seat of Berry County in Missouri, coming into yet another county seat. And it's part of a chain. It's a long chain of links early in the morning here. My brain fired up. But it's a long chain of links, small links that are forged together by these consensus meetings that bind down the people. And we need to go the other way with our long chain. We need to bind down the government. And so it's going to take a certain amount of work here to interdict in that this insane bunch of children and adolescents is moving strongly forward towards bringing Visioning 2020, a 2020 statement, and sustainable development and smart growth into our county. Let's finish out this article. On a two-day visit to Cassville, VWR, again, this is phase one. And if you're in a town or a city or across America someplace in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, California, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, no matter where you are, Florida, Alabama, you'll find the same sorts of things coming up, popping up in your area. Let's finish out this idea, though, because there's going to be four phases. This is just phase one. This is how they get on base. This is dialoguing to consensus with the key stakeholders. This is obtaining public-private buy-in, if you will. Included in the meetings will be summaries of the key stakeholder interviews. The consultant team will facilitate a project kickoff workshop with the advisory committee members. Again, for all of this claptrap about a people-driven planning process, you haven't seen the people invited yet. This is all the top. This is where we actually develop the plan, and then all of the people meetings will just simply be getting their buy-in, dialoguing them to consensus with a preconceived, a pre-designed plan. That's all it really amounts to. It's the same old drill, seen it over and over and over again. The consultant team, again, will facilitate a project kickoff workshop with the advisory committee members, staff, and other stakeholders. Important to the planning process, this workshop will outline the community priorities and desired final product. You see? Before they've even come to the people, before they even talk to the people in the area, they've already got their desired final product. They've already got their community priorities in hand. As identified to date and set the remaining project schedule, BWR will summarize meeting and trip findings in a project issues book. A project issues book is basically the rough draft or the initial draft or the outline statement of the comprehensive plan. The consultant team will meet with city representatives on the second day to review issues and set schedules for the next trip. Key person interviews may resume if necessary. And this will be a continuing story, and we'll follow it as it comes to hand. Going back in here, we're going to go back now and continue along. You know, you look at the archives. I didn't post yesterday's archives. Apologize for that. Remembered that this morning early when I got out of bed. But they'll be up today. But this could be considered part seven of this kind of a continuing series. We started off talking about equality, defining it, going into some basic understandings of just what is equality. We've identified that there's a difference between equalities of opportunities, where everyone has an opportunity to succeed in our system of government, in our culture, if our American tradition, everyone has the opportunity to succeed. But of course, in the same light, everyone has the opportunity to fail. And then there's this other side. There's this Fabian socialist side. There's this other side of the equation. And I've been trying to draw that out, and that is the equality of outcomes. That is a company that's too big to fail. That's a person that cannot, you know, that's too big to fail. That's not having people with opportunities to advance through education and employment and things like that based on merit, but they're sustained, they're propped up in their drives by taxation and by programs and policies and techniques. And this stuff's been coming on us and at us for a long time, folks. This is an interesting book. I would sure like to get him to come out from the wraps and come on air and talk with me, but I haven't been able to succeed in that for months, trying though. This is a book titled Reinventing Government, Fast Bullets and Culture Changes, written by Robert Hillman and published a while back. Met him down in Dallas at the Freedom 21 conference. Let's just pick it up in a place that I like to go to in this book, because for the purposes of discussing education, this is a good area to begin. At present, UN officials are concentrating on teaching American children democracy as the first step toward making them enthusiastic supporters of the new order. Just burn that into your mind. You want to know where democracy came from, folks? It was inculcated. Our founders knew quite well that this was an independent and republic of republics, if you will. All of the various states as republics and commonwealths under an overall or an overarching republic. It's a constitutionally limited republican form of representative government, whether they like it or not. We're going to have to take it back. It's not going to come back easy, but it can come back. And of course, I like to say we need to abolish the established two-party political system, and as many other hosts on this network have gone into in greater detail. Certainly Lee Rogers mentioned it again last night on his broadcast. If you missed it, the archives are up. But it's really just Socialist Party A and Socialist Party B. It's kind of even facetious to even call it a two-party, but it's an established two-party system. It's controlled opposition. It's a dialectical process. And so we recognize that, we understand that, and then we embrace it. And the only way that I can see to get rid of that is to go inside both of them, take them over, gaining a majority position, merge them back together, and then vote them out of existence. Short of that, I can't see a plan. But if somebody else has a plan, the telephone number is 512-904-8014 and 866-841-1065. I'm always ready to be schooled. Let's go back into our book. Following directly on the heels of the Edwards revelation came a Tribune story. Now, this is some time ago. This one on UN efforts to change what children would be taught in school in the 1920s, when William Hale Thompson first revealed that children were being indoctrinated in their classrooms on the benefits of globalization, the Tribune said nothing. Now, however, it also began to object to this kind of activity. In the article, quote, UN New Order propaganda to begin at cradle, in other words, from the womb to the tomb, close quote here, written by Walter Trohan, it is stated, quote, at present, UN officials are concentrating on teaching American children democracy as the first step toward making them enthusiastic supporters of the new order. And, of course, it was Woodrow Wilson, I believe it was. Might be wrong there, but I think so. Making the world safe for democracy. I believe he was the first president to say that. While the same program of education is to be used in several other countries, it has not been asked for by Russia, close quote. This is probably because, as Vice President Henry Wallace noted in his speech at the Madison Square Garden, this is where the program came from. Oh, my. The best enemies money can buy, huh? He then detailed how special books were being prepared for use in the schools and that publications were being prepared for adults as well. We're going to talk about that in a moment. That as part of this program, children were to learn about a new set of heroes, international heroes, who were responsible for creating the United Nations. Among these heroic figures were, here's a list, Franklin Delano Roosevelt or Roosevelt, Yosef Stalin, Molotov, Cordell Hull. We'll pick up that list of gangsters on the other side. Stick with it.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned, and for those of you that missed the opening bell in the first five-minute segment where we went through the market reports, gold is trading down $16.80 to a very low price today of $921.40 for spot. Of course, you're going to have to probably kick 100 on top of that for premiums. Silver's also off 26 cents, trading around 1340. Will it go lower? It may. Will it go very much lower? Probably not. Will it go up again? Very likely. So if you were put off by the $1,000 price range, and many were, it might be a time, if you've been heading on the fence, waiting to get into the game, so to speak, to get your dollars out of your savings accounts and get them into something substance, this might be a time to move. I don't sell gold. I'm not an advocate for buying gold. I'm not your advisor, your guru, or your financial counselor. I'm just telling you that there's a little birdie on the wire that's saying, hey, gold is down quite a bit today. Do as you will. Back to our article here on, it's not an article, it's the book Reinventing Government, Fast Bullets and Culture Changes by Bob Hillman. Very interesting list he's got here. These new American heroes that children were starting to be indoctrinated with back early on in the last century. And this is that list again. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Joseph Stalin, V.M. Molotov, Cordell Hull, Winston the Druid, Winston the Neo-Druid, Churchill, Sumner Wells, Eleanor Roosevelt, the card-carrying communist, if not socialist, and Edward R. Stettinus Jr. All of these are socialist pukes. I know some of you out there really think FDR was something great. Uncle Joe was swell. I don't. Winston Churchill, you can have all of his books. I don't want them. The UN educational program that Trohan was referring to was approved at the first United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. I stumbled on that one yesterday. Couldn't remember the entire thing. UNESCO is the acronym, but it's the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. Put that one in your pipe and smoke it. The General Conference that was held in November and December of 1946. One of the first things on its agenda was the creation of a, quote, a study of education for international understanding in the primary and secondary schools and in institutions of higher learning of member states, capital M, capital S, member states, to be conducted by the member states, capital M, capital S, with the assistance of the UNESCO Secretariat. In order to comply with this resolution, each nation would be required to conduct a study of how textbooks treated the subject of international agencies since 1918. At a recent candidates forum where we had the opportunity in the Ozarks Property Rights Congress monthly meeting to grill school board candidates, I grilled them and I was complaining about textbooks and the open textbook law and the various and sundry other things, only to be told by a former school superintendent running for re-election that there were only three companies, basically, that had the monopoly on textbooks and that the curriculum directors had to choose from one of the various offerings that one of these three companies offered and that other textbooks weren't on the table. And so you can see how this has metastasized in the very body politic as we move from an open school system to a closed school system, a closed socialist or if not communist school system where the textbooks are designed to fit the globalist agenda. Of course, you knew all of that. Let's go into the same time period, talking the 1920s, and pick up a story here out of the Fabian Freeway, again by Rose L. Martin, an excellent book. If you haven't got a copy, you might look around on some of the antiquarian bookstores or the used booksellers out there, Alibri and the others, and see if maybe you could pick up a copy for your library. This was donated to mine, and I've appreciated having it, and I've read it many times through now. Here we are on page 248, picking it up in the middle of a chapter right here. Son of a miner, that's a nice way to say it, isn't it? Son of a miner, why you son of a miner? Son of a miner, Mark Starr, had worked in the coal mines as a boy and served during World War I as local officer of the South Wales Miners Federation. You can understand now that we're over on the islands again, aren't we? Right over there, right up to our necks in queens and kings and lords and ladies. The reason why we fought a war against them. I wonder whether we won. Nevertheless, as a local officer of the South Wales Miners Federation, referring to his origins, Starr, S-T-A-R-R, remarked many years later in a personal letter that if he had not been a radical, he would have been a moron. Quote, unquote. If he had not been a radical, he would have been a moron. Possibly this view was colored by the fact that from the age of 14, he was educated at Fabian-operated workers' schools and the London Labor College. Oh, my. Please understand. Listen carefully. Before emigrating to America in 1928, why couldn't he stay in England? Starr was for 7 years a division officer of the National Council of Labor Colleges in Britain. The National Council of Labor Colleges in Britain, that's a capital L now. That would be like the British Labor Party today. He belonged to the little capital I, independent, capital L, capital P, independent Labor Party. So now here, back in the 20s, we see the beginning of Tony Blair's British Labor Party, the Labor Party, headed by some of the more stridently left-wing Fabians and openly sympathetic to the communist cause. And Jorge Bush is hugging this guy? Oh, my. During that period, he was also associated with Margaret Cole, a founder of New Fabian Research. That's capital N, New, capital F, Fabian, capital R, Research. These are things that you can look up. This is the advantage of going to these kinds of books. New Fabian Research, who was elected president of the Fabian Society in 1963, Margaret Cole, and who took a lively interest in promoting a species of socialist indoctrination for working people, broadly termed, quote-unquote, further education. Pay attention. On reaching New York, Starr was promptly hired to teach at Brookwood Labor College. Funny. Got one in the U.S. too, huh? Which between 1925 and 1928 had received an outright grant of $74,227 from the Garland Fund. Now 1927 and 1928, $74,000 was a chunk of change. A couple of ounces of gold. Soon he was placed in charge of, quote, Brookwood Extension Courses. Despite his own very sketchy academic background, in 1941, Starr became vice president of the American Federation of Teachers. You see how this works? Alexander Hamilton, son of a Levine, working down in the West Indies as a bean counter in a counting house, comes to the colonies to get his primary and secondary education. He was very well schooled. He was a knowledgeable fellow before he got on the boat. But he came up north to the colonies just in time for the Constitutional Conventions. Isn't that curious? Son of a Levine. His mother's name was Levine. That would make him one, wouldn't it? One of the, they can see. Oh, let's go back here. I don't want to go too far away from this. So soon he was placed in charge of the Brookwood Extension Courses. How many times have I mentioned, and will repeat many times in the future, the Extension College, the Extension Agent. These are change agents. These are basically Fabian socialist change agents. They work through the land grant colleges. They work through the Extension Councils. All of this is a Sidney and Beatrice Webb invention that has been brought to our shores. It's all about further education, and we're going to find out about that in a moment. Here, let's go into this footnote. Adult education was a field in which Margaret Cole and her husband were active for years. It became her chief public function in 1951 to 1960 when she was the chairman of the Further Education Committee of the London County Council. That was out of the Fabian News, January 1963. Dropping down through here a bit further, we can see in 1944 he was appointed labor consultant to the Office of War Information, whose director, Elmer Davis, was at once a fellow director of the LID. Funny, isn't it? How this stuff goes back and forth across the puddle. And this is the officer, he's appointed the labor consultant to the Office of War Information. By that time, of course, Starr had taken out American citizenship, though he preferred to consider himself a citizen of the world. Isn't that what Barry the Usurper said over there at the rock concert in Europe? A citizen of the world? Fellow traveler, perhaps? And in March 1949, organized an ILGWU symposium on, quote-unquote, world government. In 48, President Truman named Mark Starr to the United States Advisory Commission on Educational Exchange, where he remained until the year of my birth, 1952. This commission was authorized under Public Act 402 to advise the State Department and the Congress on the operation of information centers and libraries maintained by the United States government in foreign countries. We'll be back.
Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice-over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And so as the plot thickens and we continue into this a little bit further, we can see that this fellow Starr, Mark Starr, will find his way all the way into the United Nations. So he started out over in England, in Wales, and then he came here. And in June of 1949, Starr headed the U.S. delegation to the first adult education conference organized by UNESCO at Elsinore, Denmark, where the shades of Marx, Engels, and Kautsky, rather than the ghost of Hamlet's father, stalked. A month later, he was lecturing at a British Labour Party summer school in Durham, England. And that year, the New York City Board of Education confirmed its annual Adult Students Award on Mark Starr as their prize specimen of an adult student who had made good. Well, we'll see how much good he has made. He certainly made an impression, and he has certainly helped to change the course of American education. But few people know who Mark Starr is. Let's go back again and pick up the thread. We saw the beginning there of the extension colleges. Let's find out more about that. We'll go back to a very interesting book that I picked up many years ago. Had it on the bookshelf in my library for almost 25 years before I ever read it. It was called Storm Over the States by Terry Sanford, an interesting book published by a former governor. And we find here... He was the governor of North Carolina. This was copyright back in 1967. Yes, he was his term of governor of North Carolina from 1961 to 1965. So he knows a little bit about what's going on, just a little bit. A pretty good book. It took me a long time to read it, but now I've read it 3 times since I came back to it in 2001. Here we go. Let's pick it up here. Except for Howard and a few municipal colleges, the state governments almost monopolize the public provision of higher education, a key element of the American dream. Advancement and success by means of education and technical training has always been associated with state governments. The state university is one institution in which all citizens of the state have a direct or potential interest. There's a quote there. The nation has become strong through the support of states. Excuse me, that doesn't sound right. The nation has become strong through the support the states have given public higher education. The national government could develop the atomic bomb and our space sciences, and World War II technology only because of our state systems of higher education. reassuring, isn't it, that out of our state colleges we get the atomic bomb and space things and so on and so forth. World War II technology had quite a vigorous demonstration in front of the Applied Sciences Building at the University of Washington in Seattle, Washington, my memory tells me. It was about, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,300 or 1,400 lineal feet of clad in blue, body armored, standing behind clear plexiglass shields, the Seattle's finest and all that they could drag in from everywhere, going up about 5,000, maybe 10,000 protesters, protesting the use of the students in the Applied Science Laboratory to develop weaponry and chemicals for use against those in Vietnam. Both sides, of course, we used our weaponry indiscriminately, as often injuring our own servicemen as we did those living in the jungles. Nevertheless, dropping back down here again, the nation has become strong through the support the states have given public higher education. Even the land grant, this is just something else, even the land grant in college, initially established under the impetus of federal land grants provided by the Morrill Act of 1863, has been mainly supported by state appropriations through the years, with only minimal funds from the national government. Now, that just might go right over your head, but I would suggest that perhaps, if you are at all interested in how this erosion came to place, check out the Morrill Act of 1863, and also remember that the Radical Red Republicans, those Marxists from Europe and Russia and the Balkan states, were sweeping into place to facilitate the Great Revolution, the war of federal aggression, northern aggression, if you will. But there was plenty of agitators working in the South, too, just to make sure that it happened. You couldn't let those pesky states just walk away, you know. All of this claptrap about free state projects and things like that, as though the Civil War never occurred. Seems we don't learn from history. But anyway, back into this again, just to point out this land-grant college system and look at the time period. Karl Mordecai Marx and Friedrich Engels already writing strongly. Auguste Comte writing his work. Fourier alive and well. All of the socialists coming out of France and Germany and England focusing here. And it was the Webbs that came up with this great idea of furthering adult education, being able to reach out into the adult community, those that might have been missed in other education, no child left behind, no matter how old they are. This idea of the land-grant college and the extension councils and the county agents reaching right out into the rural lands, into the agrarian society, and bringing sustainable development and smart growth right to the farm. Again, these have been mainly supported by state appropriations through the years, that is, land-grant colleges, with only minimal funds from the national government. The states made higher education what it is, from the first state universities in North Carolina and Georgia to the most recent community college in Oregon. The university capacity of America couldn't have been put together in a crash program. It has grown over many, many years by state nurture. Now, again, in this book, Storm Over the States, Terry Sanford is advocating for a strong state to counteract the overly strong Fed. And so there's a lot to learn here from him, but he also kind of has, he's been indoctrinated within the system too, so you have to get the best information that you can glean from the book and set aside some of his strategies. Continuing, though, he says, finally, states represent communities of people loyal to their state. Most have been educated in their state's local school system and live in the state's cultural and political environment. They take pride in being Texans, North Carolinians, Vermonters, Oregonians, and especially in the fall when the state university's football team is in gear. Oh, yes. Even that love affair, that American love affair with their balls, has been inculcated and indoctrinated from what once was just an opportunity to get outside and get some fresh air and get a little bit of vitamin D in your eyes and then go back in and go back to your studies from that little bit of recreation and athletic adventure outside, calisthenics, physical fitness and all of that. No, no, we've come into a full headlong rush, a love affair with our balls. And it impacts every community, large and small, and every kind of a ball you can imagine. There are cynics who question this sense of community and age when the U.S. Census Bureau indicates that each year one in every five American moves. Yet behind that broad figure of moving Americans lies the reality that only three out of every 100 Americans actually changed their state of residence between 1959 and 1960. Well, we're going to come to the end of this broadcast for the first hour. I hope you'll stay with us into the second hour. We're going to go into this even deeper. There are things you can do right at the local level, folks. And starting with your school board would be a very good place. The elections are coming up here in Missouri. It's going to be April the 7th, I believe. There's elections coming all the time. Get a copy of your state's election calendar from your Secretary of State's website. Stay abreast of when candidates are declaring their candidacy and running. Run and win good candidates. Replace these crooks and criminals. We need to do a house cleaning. We need to do Operation Clean Sweep. We need to start from the top and work all the way to the bottom. But where we need to really work and focus right now is laying in a new foundation. You go right in at the very bottom and start chipping away at the great edifice. Drive your wedges in all of the right places at the right time and watch as this whole thing just collapses. It's all based on voluntary compliance, folks. It's a dialogue to consensus process, just as we started the program out with these visioning councils. It's dialoguing into consensus, and it's obtaining public buy-in. Don't buy in, buy out. Just say no. Become vocal local. You can do it. And teach others. And join together and work in local voting precinct groups if you can. Certainly you're going to all be individuals involved in the process, but if you can team up and work together as a local voting precinct group, there is strength in numbers, and when 10, 12, 14, 18 of you turn out at a school board meeting, your voices will be heard and you'll be paid attention to, not marginalized. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us.
My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Tuesday, March the 24th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we begin our second hour. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Check out our little website at vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info, a much greater website right there. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. If you've just joined us, in the first hour, we talked all about education, planning, zoning, county commissions, setting up comprehensive plans, and so on and so forth. We're diving deeper and deeper into the understanding of the two different sides of the obverse and the reverse of the same coin called equality. On one hand, we have equality of opportunity. On the other hand, completely different, diametrically opposed, you have the corrosive socialist globalist concept of equality of outcome. So we're looking into that. We're looking at education and all things like that. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, and as you'll hear through various the textbooks, the materials that I bring out a lot of radical thinking and radical thought. This is a philosophical time period so that we can get our minds wrapped around the philosophies, the underlying socio-economic and political philosophies that the globalists are working under, so that we can perhaps understand where do we fit into all of this and how can we respond effectively right where we are. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in. Pick a name and become Vocal Local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, as many have already done, or you can pick up the telephone and call in now. For those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you too can call in toll-free 866-841-1065. And your calls are welcome. Those numbers are posted on the front, on the home page, on the top, and almost on every page at oraclebroadcasting.com, the official website of this network. You can also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. Remember, the broadcast is fed by your contributions and independent finances from some of the hosts and others, so every penny helps. Every nickel, every dime helps to increase the bandwidth and keep us on the air. So you can go on the homepage, oraclebroadcasting.com, find the chip-in banner, chip-in that way. You can also become an Oracle member. You get a newsletter and other things, too. But you can take advantage of the great discount offered by getting a year's membership subscription. So there's that as well. Don't forget there's an Oracle chat room. No, it's not an Oracle chat room. It's an Oracle broadcasting store where you can go in and get all kinds of cool things, including doggy t-shirts so that your dog can go around with you styling it, wearing Oracle banners on the sides of it. That looks like a great idea. Love to have one for my dog. She just rides in the back of my truck wherever I go. Big old German Shepherd wearing her Oracle t-shirt. Can hardly wait for that to come to pass. Anyway, we've got lots of things happening. If you've noticed over the last 24-hour period, there was a substantial uptick in the stock market. Huge moves upward, 497 points in the Dow Jones, 98 points upward in the NASDAQ. And all of the rest of the stocks seem to go the same way. Gold went the other way, trading down as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, trading down $16.80 to $921.40. So there's an opportunity there if you're interested in gold and silver, adding it to your portfolio, as they say. I don't sell gold. I'm not an advocate of gold. I'm not your financial guru. You do as you wish. But I'm just letting you know there's a buying opportunity in the offing right now. If you can put your hands on it, from everything that I've seen and heard, getting preciously hard to find those precious metals. We'll be back. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
Amazon. Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we are back, and those call-in numbers again one last time here is 866-841-1065. If you'd like to call in and be part of the broadcast today, your calls are welcome. Talking about the states, talking about schools, looking at things that we can do locally, a whole variety of topics are on the table and your topics as well. But let's jump back into this book from Terry Sanford, The Storm Over the States, back in 1967, former governor, and figure out more about what he has to say in regards to education. But he's starting to morph now at this particular point in this chapter. He's morphing over from the discussion of the schools into the importance of the states. And before I go any further, I'll just, because I've looked into a little bit of what he said here, I'm going to summarize or build upon something he's written very briefly, and I'll just go into it a little bit deeper. And that is the idea that when you get your education, or schooling, if you will, more properly, in a particular state, quite frequently in the United States, we move. We move from one town to another town, sometimes from one state to another state. And so all of the various and sundry tax revenues that it took the state to educate you, to school you from K through 12, and then all in your master's or doctorate or whatever you acquired, that money is not at home any longer. It goes away in some regards, in an international sense, in the migration and development sense, from the United Nations, that would constitute brain drain. In other words, the state and all of its educational system built your brain, but then you drain, you go away. And that has an impact on the return on the investment at the school level. Excuse me. Nevertheless, there is much more to this process than meets the eye. Let's drop into this again. He says, there is, to be sure, a degree of unity or a sense of community which is attached to our states as units of history and tradition, and so important that it cannot be discounted by the very fact of political organization. These attachments are sufficiently strong that any suggestion for changing state boundaries or reshuffling the deck at this level is completely unrealistic politically. So here in the 1960s, our author is addressing this idea of that was on foot at the time, that we got rid of these states or start to do what is now known as multi-jurisdictional task force and transnational or trans-state alliances or multi-state partnerships. Prohibited as they are in the state constitution for Missouri, it doesn't seem to be diminishing this over-the-border metropolitan statistical area and things like that from happening. But Mr. Sansford here, state governor, continues. He says, the states are here to stay. The states are here to stay. The genuine question, the one we can do something about, the one worth our attention, is how we might shape the state's actions and not their boundaries for the most effective response to their citizens' needs. He continues here, Governor Carl E. Sanders, no relation to Colonel Sanders, obviously, Governor Carl E. Sanders in Georgia, 1963-1967, in a letter acknowledging we have failed, to assume many responsibilities that rightfully should be dealt with on the state level, had this to add, quote, I personally believe that the states today still represent the most important and effective unit in our entire system of government, and that the roles which they play can become more important and not less important, as many fear. And I agree and I concur heartily with that sentiment. We have basically, in our own apathy, allowed our states to atrophy. And so as we move further and further into this new paradigm, various and sundry authors have advanced ideas as to how so many states may go to Canada, so many states may go to Mexico, so many states in the West would go to China, and so many states in the East would go to the European Union. Balderdash over my dead one. So there are things that we need to be paying attention to, but the states are very, very important, as are the counties. Our entire political system, the entire edifice rises up first on the precinct, then to the cities and towns, then the counties, and then the states. All of the political party structure is built that way. They are built on committees, state committees, and then the state committees come together and they form the congressional district and the senatorial district and the transportation districts and the school districts and all of the rest of that. And finally, and only then finally, do they put together their national committees and deal with the district of corruption and the elected officials there. But the states are the key to this whole thing. And I believe we need to focus and strengthen our states where we can have direct impact and can have much better control over the outcomes of election, even though the electronic system of voting, the electronic devices, are an impediment. They're not insurmountable. Let's continue here from his book. He says, there is a noticeable feeling throughout the states that the time has come for them to assert leadership boldly. And this is a new spirit calling ever better men and women to service in state government and politics. Now, again, this was written in 1967. And there was a resurgence, a small one, but there was a resurgence. But at this time, there was also a transformation that occurred in this metro system all across the country, Metro 1313, the various and sundry metropolitan areas. There are 3,066 counties all across America in our several states, of which 33 are city counties. And so these great metropolitan areas have alliances and allegiances one with another. You have your councils of mayors, you've got your councils of governors, you've got your regional councils of government, and all of these various and sundry pluralistic associations forming extra constitutional and extra legal forms of government. Things we need to be aware of and pay very close attention to. This is Soviet style government or governance, if I might say so, and interdependence. But Sanford here was looking in the 60s at the states and saying throughout this book that they've given up too much power to the Fed and they needed to take it back. And I agree. Those who believe, again from Sanford's book, those who believe in the federal system must of necessity believe in improved state governments. In the history and the present performance of the states, there is much to reinforce this belief. Got a frog in my throat today, can't shake it out. And to encourage those who would undertake the strengthening of state structures. While it is easy and shallow simply to rail at increasing centralization of the national government, again, here we have state government, and then we have national government. National government. National government is not quite the same as the federal government, the constitutional government. National government is a different program. That's all of these agencies and administrative agencies that have infiltrated and insinuated themselves throughout the entire fabric of our system. Crossing state boundaries with impunity, with the support of the model acts, the model legislation, model codes, the International Code Council, the International Law Commission, the Uniform Law Commission, and all of the United Nations bodies. But again, the international community, they work through these various and sundry administrative agencies, promulgating rules and regulations, not law. And then they rule that way. We come under a new rule of law, and it's different than what our Constitution outlines. There are those who are fond of playing a game which might be titled, but look at Alabama. Today it is Alabama, yesterday it was a different state, and tomorrow will be yet another. We'll pick it up on the other side, folks. Stay with us. Here it comes.
Folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth a thousand keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Thank you.
and we have returned once again. Now back to our book, we'll find out a little bit more about the states. You know, if we can focus our attention upon the states, folks, and take our eyes off of this magician trick that's going on in Washington, I think that the road to success will be much shorter. But let's go back and see what these wise people, former governors, have to say. Again, Terry's pointing out that the game that he's heard about a lot, the fond game, or the game everybody's fond of playing amongst the circle of governors that he was associated with, is the look at that state, look at Alabama, look at Washington, look at Texas kind of a game. But as he says, today it's Alabama, yesterday was a different state, and tomorrow will be yet another. This is their rebuttal to every suggestion that the states should be built up, reinforced, reformed, given added responsibilities, and developed as a more important division of the American federal system. Now, in the previous paragraph, he uses the national government, and now here he's using the American with a capital A federal system. In other places, he talks about the state systems. So we have all three of the various rollouts here in this one page. Interesting. This is a political and partisan response, an expression of the disputant's opinion about a particular state, and there's no purpose to be served by arguing the merits of his opinion. It would be easy to counter this answer by saying, but look at Hughes of New Jersey or Chaffee of Rhode Island, McKeithen of Louisiana, Kerner of Illinois, Hughes of Iowa, Hoff of Vermont, Connolly of Texas, Rockefeller of New York, McNair of South Carolina, and many others. In other words, he brings in the names of the main players. Now, again, this was 67. Many of these names will be unfamiliar to you as they are some of them to me. Nonetheless, he continues, but this is no answer either. Personalities are not the relevant argument. Once again, this cult of personalities. Personalities are not the relevant argument. Surely there are governors who either... Oh, I hear the train coming through Exeter in the background. What a wonderful microphone I have. Surely there are governors who, by either action or inaction, weaken the image of state government generally. But surely no one would suggest seriously today, as Alexander Hamilton did in 1787, that in order to get the quote-unquote right kind of governors, they should be selected by Congress or appointed by the president. And that's the truth. The people of the states will continue to elect their governors, and if people make mistakes, democracy must endure the mistakes. Now, here is a little bit of the weakness in his argument. He uses the term democracy interchangeably with republic in many places, and if you study it out in the various paragraphs where he uses it, it just reveals his own indoctrination and his support of this concept of the advancement, as Woodrow Wilson says, making the world safe for democracy. But we take what we can from the various books and authors and texts and encyclopedias, etc. We take what we can and we build from that. These are our building blocks, and from this we must find and discern truth. Continuing, mistakes by the people, if they are mistakes, cannot be fuel to the forge or to forge the reshaping of the structure of our federal government. There are other ways of redress. It's so important. There are other ways of redress. The redress of your grievances is one of the most important things to keep in mind when we're looking at all things political. When we move further and further into this GPS global governance system, if it is allowed to be erected, a one world system of government, you know, every single day somewhere in the world, some over 4,000 times a year, the United Nations, one of their various agencies or bodies or organs, is having a meeting. And your voice is not there. You did not get an invitation. You do not have a representative standing for you. So your desires just go to the winds. How would we, or you or I or any of us, how would we redress our grievances under a global system of governance? It is difficult enough today just trying to bring up your grievances with your town council or your local county commission. But there, it's usually not more than a 50-mile drive, depending on where you live in America. There are 114 counties in the state of Missouri. Some of the counties in Oregon and Idaho, you know, you have to pack a lunch. Nevertheless, you can still make it to your county courthouse and get to the county commission meeting to redress your grievances. Where would you go to redress your grievances in a global system of government? Will you even be allowed to board an airplane? Should you ever make it to one of these meetings and redress your grievances, would you be allowed to come home? Or would you just be renditioned off to seven waterboards over Cairo or something? Hard to say, but redress of grievance is an important aspect in all of this, so we'll just go back. There are other ways of redress called into use on many occasions in our history. The U.S. Constitution guarantees, quote-unquote, to every state in this union a republican form of government, close quote. Now here, so not for in the same, very self-same paragraph, he uses democracy must endure the mistakes, and then he turns around and he correctly states that the U.S. Constitution guarantees, quote, to every state in the union a republican form of government. I wish he wouldn't do that, wallowing back and forth, flip-flopping. Just pick the one that's correct, the one that's found in the Constitution, and stand by it. Continuing here, he says, if abuses require additional laws to protect the republican form, then there is evidence aplenty that our system can produce the necessary laws. If the frailties of man result in imperfect administration of government, as they assuredly will from time to time, the answer is not to abolish or weaken our institutions of popular control of politics. The states have served the people well. There is a long list of solid and reassuring achievement in every state to bear out this conclusion. They have the capacity to serve even better if we will quit fussing and start thinking, quit fumbling and start working, and make the changes which will enable the states to fulfill their role effectively as a part of our federal structure. And I say that's exactly the right plan, Terry. Now we go into another little segment here. This is back to the book that we've been working out of for the last 2 weeks, virtually, Freedom, Free to Choose. It was written by Milton and Rose Friedman. It's a personal statement is the way they title it. And I'll just pick it up here. This is in a long section titled, What's Wrong with Our Schools? And this is a segment of that, a subhead, a unit within the chapter, Elementary and Secondary Education, The Problem. We spoke about it yesterday and last week. Professor West, just jumping in the middle here, you may not know these people at the time, but it'll all fit together. Professor West has maintained persuasively that the government takeover in Britain, as in the United States, resulted from pressure by teachers, administrators, well-meaning intellectuals, rather than parents. And as we saw when we started out the broadcast in the previous hour, our Mr. Mark Starr, one of those well-meaning intellectuals, a growing intellectual, a student of the Sydney and Beatrice Webb Fabian School of Economics and everything else. These are those well-meaning intellectuals. One has to question whether those intellectuals were well-meaning or not. Nevertheless, they were present. But truthfully, the government takeover of the schools in Britain, as in the United States, resulted from the pressure by the teachers and administrators, most of all, and supported by well-meaning intellectuals rather than the parents. So in a free market system, in a free market system of education, you would think that the consumer would drive the market. That would be where the demand would be coming from, but that's not the case. You see, in the controlled system, in the state-controlled and the federal-controlled system, in the global-controlled system, in the international community-controlled system, it's control from the top. Yeah. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned, and again, our websites are vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info, the southwest, far southwest chapter of the Ozark Property Rights Congress, and the Berry County chapter of same has this website. It's called ozarksvoter.info. Lots of information gets posted there. You can post there, too, so check it out today if you can. ozarksvoter.info on my little website, vocallocal.org. It only has a couple of items on there. Some might have some interest in regards to Plan B. That's number one in my mind, the reason for the season, the reason for the website. Plan B, go there and check it out. It gives you some background information on political parties and political party structure and why I advocate the abolition of political parties. Kind of take that as my own, as I take that as my own cross to bear, if you will. Not many people are bold enough to get rid of both political parties and get rid of the system entirely, but I think that is the great super social disease that certainly besets our nation. And going into this book again, education is still another example, like Social Security, of the common element in authoritarian and socialist philosophies. We can't come out from underneath these philosophies, folks, as long as we allow the facilitators of philosophical radicalism to continue in power. And the two-party political system just provides an opportunity for us to throw the rascals out from time to time to appease the people. And that has to end. Just another element, a common element in the authoritarian and socialist philosophies. Aristocratic and authoritarian Prussia and Imperial France were the pioneers in state control of education. You might have to say that it was the same authoritarian Prussia and Imperial France that brought us so many of the mystery religions, the various and sundry Masonic organizations, but do not forget Scotland and England and Wales and so on and so forth. Socialistically inclined intellectuals in the United States, Britain, and later Republican France were the major supporters of state control in their countries. Of course, if you've read Auguste Comte, Auguste Isidore Marie-Francois Xavier Comte, and his Catechism of the Positive Religion, his System of Positive Polity, and his System of Positive Philosophy, you'll understand that he was pretty much of a supporter of state control in the schools as well. The establishment of the school system in the United States as an island of socialism in a free market sea reflected only to a very minor extent the early emergence among intellectuals of a distrust of the market and of voluntary exchange. And so you can see that we really cannot separate the economic discussion that we begin these broadcasts with each day from the greater super social problems that so certainly beset us, because they work hand in hand. They work hand in hand. They work hand in hand to destroy any thought or remembrance of the effectiveness of a free market system. Nothing can be said about Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. Nothing can be said about laissez-faire, laissez-passer without having all of the intellectuals' eyebrows fly upward. But I like to call his name into memory from time to time. Mostly, continuing here, it simply reflected the importance that was attached by the community to the ideal of equality of opportunity. Key phrase, equality of opportunity. The ability of Horace Mann and his associates to tap that deep sentiment enabled them to succeed in their crusade. Needless to say, the public school system was not viewed as socialist, but simply American. The most important factor determining how the system operated was its decentralized political structure. The U.S. Constitution, funny how all of the writers that I like to read always salt in the U.S. Constitution on a regular basis. Seems that these people actually know what country they live in. The U.S. Constitution narrowly limited the powers of the federal government. I love that. That whole concept to me. You know, I came up with this little phrase, the most accurate, the most succinct way of describing our government, you know, the restoration of a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. One precinct, one county, one state at a time. I don't know any simpler way to say it than that. But it's nice to find second and third witnesses in these various scholarly books. The U.S. Constitution, again, narrowly limited the powers of the federal government so that it played no significant role. The states mostly left control of the schools to the local community, and we discussed that yesterday, the town, the small city, or the subdivision of a large city. Close monitoring of the political authorities running the school system by the parents was a partial substitute for competition and assured that any widely shared desires of parents were implemented. When was the last time in your area that the state mostly left control of the schools to the local community? Of course, you elect your own school board. But all of their mandates are coming from above, far above actually, coming out of UNESCO, coming out of the international community through the federal facilitators, down through the state facilitators, down to the regional facilitators, finally at long last lodging in the body politic in your town, small city, or subdivision. Before the Great Depression, the situation was already changing. School districts were consolidated, educational districts enlarged, and more power was granted to professional educators. This is a shift of power, folks. The very ones that should be bound down by the chains of the Constitution are taking control of the schools here. More and more power was granted to professional educators. After the Depression, when the public joined the intellectuals in an unbridled faith in the virtues of government, interesting statement, and especially of central government, the decline of the one-room school and the local school board became a rout. Power shifted rapidly from the local community to broader entities, the city, the county, the state, and more recently, the federal government. Now here's something of note, some statistics. In 1920, local funds made up 83% of all revenues of public schools. 1920, 83% of all revenues were local funds. federal grants less than 1%. By 1940, the local share had fallen to 68%. Currently, and again, this book was written in the 1960s as well, currently it is less than one half. The state provided most of the rest of the money, 16% in 1920, 30% in 1940, and currently more than 40%. The federal government share is still small, but growing rapidly, from less than 2% in 1940 to roughly 8% currently. And let me just check the publication date. This is either a 60s or 70s book. Which is it? Oh, this is later than that, 79 and 80. So by 1979 and 80, 8% federal funding. As professional educators have taken over control by parents has weakened. In addition, and I should just stop there and simply say that if you don't understand how your school systems work, and I can understand why you wouldn't, you might resort to your state constitution. Generally, every state has an entire article or chapter in their constitution directly aiming at education. And if you just read that over one time, you'll start to see this power structure as it is now working in your state, or not working, however the case might be. As professional educators have taken over, control by parents has weakened. In addition, the function assigned to schools has changed. They're still expected to teach the three R's and to transmit common values. That was in the 80s. I wouldn't say that was the case today. They're still expected to teach the three R's and to transmit common values. In addition, however, schools are now regarded as a means of promoting social mobility. Schools are now regarded as a means of promoting social mobility, racial integration, and other objectives only distantly related to their fundamental task. And you saw the mandatory voluntary compliant teen brigades that Barry the Usurper is going to roll out, and we heard there about social mobility, racial integration, and other objectives on spades, if I might say so. So you can see the decay creeping in throughout all of this as Mr. Starr's Fabian socialist, the dogma, is thoroughly indoctrinating, you know, throughout of our school system, blah, 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 blah. In Chapter 4, we referred to the theory of bureaucratic displacement that Dr. Max Gammon had developed after studying the British National Health Service. Why do we keep going over to England as a leadership example? Why do we keep going over there? When are we going to burn that bridge? When are we going to sink that vessel? When are we actually going to declare independence and then make independence from that place? It's the most corrosive place on the planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. Time begins and ends there. The meridians all begin and end there. Greenwich, Greenwich, and Greenwich. The concrete never sets on Britain, right? I'm tired of it. In Chapter 4, again, we referred to the theory of bureaucratic displacement that Dr. Max Gammon had developed after studying the British National Health Service. In his words, quote, a bureaucratic system, increase in expenditure will be matched by fall in production. Now we'll have to pick that up on the other side. Be right back. Stay with us.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn
and how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
And we are back once again. I don't know how many of you in the audience have ever read Peter F. Drucker's Concept of Corporation. I have a very interesting book in it. He talks about a lot of the problems that corporations just simply have and how that whole concept of corporation comes on us and at us and plays such an important role in the great drama of globalism. But here, going back to our book, we'll pick up a little bit more. Some of the problems with bureaucracies. When we look at this idea of turning over control to federal or state or even county or even local school boards, always these same formula, these same natural laws of corporations come into play. So let's look and see what this Dr. Max Gammon has to say. Again, he says, after studying the British National Health Service, in his words, in a, quote, a bureaucratic system, increase in expenditure will be matched by a fall in production. So this is unlike the free market. This is absolutely the antithesis of that. When we allow ourselves to go into controlled markets or controlled management, when we go into a bureaucratic system, we find typically and with very rare exceptions that any and all increases in expenditure will be matched inside of a bureaucracy by a fall in production. And such systems will act rather like a black hole in the economic universe, simultaneously sucking in resources and shrinking in terms of emitted production. So the more money you give these blathering, blithering bureaucracies, the worse the performance. Always the same mantra comes out of the mouths of these local elected officials. We're overworked. We're underpaid. We need more staff. We need a bigger budget. As if they're not aware of this simple natural law of bureaucracy and corporation. I'll repeat it again. Don't forget it. There'll be a test later. Increase in expenditure will be matched by a fall in production. Such systems will act like a black hole in the economic universe, simultaneously sucking in resources and shrinking in terms of emitted production. His theory applies in full force to the effect of the increasing bureaucratization and centralization of the public school system in the United States. Easy for him to write, hard for me to say. In the 5 years from school year 1971 to 1972, to school year 1976 to 1977, the total professional staff in all U.S. public schools went up by 8%. The cost per pupil went up 58% in dollars, or 11% adjusted and corrected for inflation. Input was clearly up. And I might just throw in, only because I know it, here in Southwest Missouri in McDonald County, the cost for getting a child through a school year right now is running approximately $6,500. That's a whole gob and a bunch of tax revenue for one student to make their way through a public school, 6,000 plus. The number of students went down 4%. The number of schools went down 4%. And we suspect that few readers will demur from the proposition that the quality of schooling went down even more drastically than the quantity. And that is certainly the story told by the declining grades recorded on standardized examinations. The output is clearly down. So the input went up in U.S. schools in that time period, and the output went down. And we see the same thing today. We see the same thing today. But realize also that in the 60s and the 70s, that was the real forward drive on abortion and birth control and all of that. And so the number of babies born and the size of families, you know, we went from having 12 children to two kids and a dog. All of the numbers of children in schools, young people, might be a better way of saying that, young boys and girls, went down and down and down, and yet the cost of education went up and up and up and up. Go figure. So then we have to throw open the southern border in order to justify this bloated bureaucracy in all of these palatial schools, where we have a school classroom that has two children and two teachers per room. Now we've got all these bloated schools, these huge, huge rooms and tiny, tiny classes, you know. Now we have to throw open the borders and bring in plenty more to support this bureaucracy. Otherwise, it just becomes laughing. You have to close schools down, not build more, unless we increase the number of children being born. But let's go back and finish this more intelligent writing. Is the decline in output per unit of input due to increasing bureaucratic and centralized organization? As some evidence, the number of school districts went down by 17% in the seven-year period from 1970 to 1978, continuing the long-term trend to greater centralization. So in other words, the number of school districts were, because of the combining, because of centralizing and piling them together, there were fewer and fewer school districts. Of course, that leaves higher and higher salary potential available for the fewer and fewer bureaucrats, doesn't it? As to bureaucratization, for a somewhat earlier five-year period for which data are available, from 1968 to 74, when the number of students went up 1%, the total professional staff went up 15%, and teachers by 14%, but the supervisors went up 44%. You see how that works? Overwork, underpaid, need more staff. Have to have more supervisors. It's move up, move out, or die. Why, we're all heading for, matriculation? No, is that it? No, it's not matriculation. What is it? Well, it doesn't matter. Once you get in there, you want to stay the rest of your life. You want 20 years so that you can retire. Get all those benefits. We can't have our people falling out of that. No, not at all. I'm going to say it again. The number of students went up 1%, the total professional staff went up 15%, teachers by 14%, and the number of supervisors went up by 44%. And you wonder why we don't get any education or schooling. The problem in schooling, again, back to the book here, the problem in schooling is not mere size, but simply that school districts have become larger, and that on the average, each school has more students. After all, in industry, size has often proved a source of greater efficiency, lower cost, and improved quality. Industrial development in the United States gained a great deal from the introduction of mass production, from what economists call the economies of scale. Why then should schooling be expected to be different? It isn't. The difference is not between schooling and other activities, but between arrangements under which the consumer is free to choose and arrangements under which the producer is in the saddle so the consumer has little to say. Big stuff, folks. It's all about equality. Equality of opportunity versus the equality of outcomes. If we were to allow our education system to run on the free market, we would break up and bust up these great centralized bureaucracies. We would have plentiful quantities of schools coming into the market, free opportunity and free to fail. They would have to find their own ways to finance themselves. They would have to attract and retain their client base. And instead, we have a government-sponsored monopoly, just the same as we have in the auto insurance business, just the same as we have the house insurance business, just the same as we have in the floodplain business. Government-sponsored monopolies, insurance, healthcare, socialization. Oh, we have a rainstorm coming in right now, right over our heads as we come towards the last bit of this broadcast. I hope you enjoy the rain. I know I will. Coming on the skylights over my radio table here in my studio. Sounds wonderful. Haven't had a good rain in a while. Hopefully we won't get lightning struck to go with it. Nevertheless, in political arrangements, size generally does affect consumers' freedom to choose, but in small communities, the individual citizen feels that he has and does indeed have more control over what the political authorities do than in large communities. And once again, we just go right back to becoming vocal local, becoming energized within your existing political system. Work with your school board. Obtain, if you can, the textbooks and study them. See how these three primary monopolies on textbooks have altered truth and shape the children's minds through indoctrination rather than education, rather than in schooling. There are things we can do on a local level all the time. And for those who are willing to invest their time and invest their energy, there's an opportunity for you to take a position on that school board and really make a difference. Get inside, get a seat at the table. That way you don't have to wait for a turn at the microphone for a 3-minute chat. That way you can come in and look at the budgets and you can look at the schools and you can talk to the various teachers and the principals and the superintendents of school and you can begin to demand equal opportunity and to hell with equal outcomes. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great day.
One county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
History will always remember those strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.